Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so today I want to talk about the bump stock lawsuit. We're one step closer to the United States Supreme Court. Today on the show, we're going to have the attorney from NCLA, Kaylin Kruckenberg. He argued the case before the Fifth Circuit this past week. We're going to find out what actually, you know, how that went down. You know, what happened? What does he expect after this? Because we haven't gotten a ruling yet. Also, we're going to talk with one of the owners of RW Arms. They lost millions of dollars, because they had to destroy their bump stocks because of the bump stock ban. So we're going to talk with RW Arms, going to talk with NCLA. But check this out. I want to talk about ACL real quick. Austin City Limits. That's right. So Austin City Limits, you're supposed to check people. You're supposed to show your, what, your vaccine card?
Yep.
And you're also supposed, if you don't have a vaccine card, you're supposed to show that you have a negative test, right? All right, so check out how there's, you know, this is how it goes down at ACL. That's how they check you. They're checking for weapons. They're checking your vaccine card. Boy, I'm telling you, they're not checking at all. This is not really not them, but this is kind of how it went down. A super spreader event. Only at ACL. That's what we're talking about. This is supposed to be Austin, Texas, the liberal mecca. You know, they're pushing the vaccine. They're, make, you know, want to make sure that everyone does social distancing and all that stuff. And this is how we put on events in Austin, Texas. Don't check you at all. Also, man, you know, football was awesome this weekend. You know, it was good for some, bad for others. And it, a lot of rivals this weekend over in Georgia. You know, this morning, 8 o'clock this morning, check out this neighborhood in Georgia. All right. So we'll show you that. We'll show you that at the next break there. When we come out of the next break. Yeah. It's, well, I tell you, I love football season. I love the rivalry. I love, you know, I love my neighbors. All right. So let's get right into it. I want to talk about the bump stock lawsuit. And you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let the attorney explain all that stuff to you. So let me bring into the conversation Kaylin Kruckenberg. He is the attorney for NCLA. Kaylin, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. Nice to see you again.
Absolutely, Kaylin. So so tell us, you know, from the beginning, the bump stock ban went into effect in 2019. And can you go from there and bring us to the present?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have been litigating this issue since day one, really. We filed our first lawsuit against the ban in January of 2019. And like you said, there was a rule that came out in 2018, or very late 2018. The ATF said, look, we've told you all that bump stocks are not machine guns. We've told everybody they're legal. RW Arms, as you're going to talk to them later. You know, they're a manufacturer. They got the permission from the ATF to make these devices. And then suddenly the ATF changed its mind. It said, actually, there are machine guns and you shouldn't have listened to us. And actually, if you ever bought one, you're a federal felon. So we sued immediately, and you know, some other people have sued, and it's been a mess. That's sort of the easiest way to describe it. NCLA filed its first lawsuit, like I said, in 2019. That case has been kicking around in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals for quite some time. It divided the court. There was a major decision that split 6-5. In the Court of Appeals that upheld the bump stock ban. We've actually petitioned the Supreme Court right now to hear that case.
What's the name of that case?
That is Apogean versus ATF. And so that was one of the very first cases that were brought. And then we brought your case. You sued shortly afterward. I can't remember when we filed it, but it was early in 2019. And it's kind of been going along while this other case has been happening. We had a trial in 2020, which is a little bit interesting because a lot of these other challenges have been injunctions. So they've been preliminary efforts to stop the rule from taking an effect, which obviously didn't work. And so in our case, we were a little bit different. We went to a trial, we got a final judgment, and what was good about it is we got some expert testimony about how these devices work. Because, you know, I know you know, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners also know, you know, these devices, they're really just a piece of plastic. They go on a normal semi-automatic firearm, and they really just allow you to shoot it more quickly if you're practiced. But they don't really change anything about the gun. They don't change the way that the trigger works. They don't, you know, they don't really make it an automatic firearm. And what was helpful, I think, for us is we got an expert to testify about that. And he testified about how these things work. Unfortunately, we were not successful in the trial court. But then our appeal is on, you know, it's being heard by the Fifth Circuit. And as you mentioned last week, I argued in front of the Fifth Circuit on this case.
Right. So in the Fifth Circuit, we have there are 17 judges in the Fifth Circuit. This is this is the appellate court before you get to the Supreme Court. So there are 17 judges. Out of the 17 judges on this court, 5 of them are Democrat. And so we pulled 3 judges. It's a 3-judge panel, and the panel that we put, Caleb, were. Which one? What was the ratio between Republican and Democrat, the three judges?
Well, so 2 of our judges were appointed by President Obama and 1 was appointed by President Clinton.
So we pulled 3 Democrat judges to decide a gun case. Out of the 17 judges, only 5 Democrat, we pulled 3 Democrats.
And this is in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So this was about as unlucky a draw as humanly possible anywhere in the judiciary. Nationwide.
All I can say is just let's go, Brandon.
But you know what is actually sort of interesting about this case is despite having the worst possible draw for the judges, you know, I think the judges were really wrestling with it.
Right.
And I think what is positive about it is they understood not just where their case is, but where the other cases are.
Correct.
You know, the judges kept asking me during the argument about our case, Apogean, that has the cert petition pending right now. Mm-hmm. There's another case that I didn't file that's being litigated in the Sixth Circuit. That's actually being considered by that court sitting en banc, which means all of those judges are hearing it.
And here's what that means for people that don't know. So when you go to the appellate court, it's usually your case is heard by like a 3-judge panel. Is that correct? Caleb. And then either side can request an en banc, which means that now when the verdict is handed out by the 3-judge panel, if you don't like that verdict, you can request an en banc, which means that the entire panel, everyone hears that case in that court. So all 17 judges will hear that case again,
right,
you know, before it goes on, if you're, you know, before it's appealed to the Supreme Court.
And en banc consideration is pretty rare. And it, the courts always reserve it for the cases that are the most contentious, the most complicated, the most important.
Okay, we come back from the break. Caleb, I'm going to let you finish that thought.
Sure.
Just keep in mind, you know, this is, you know, Michael Cargill versus the Department of Justice and also the ATF. And also there are other cases that we're talking about that are going forward. We're trying to meet up, you know, get some case to be heard by the Supreme Court to decide, you know, what's going to happen with the bump stocks. And that's very important because whatever comes of the bump stock case can help us just, you know, help our judicial system figure out how they're going to handle maybe AR pistols. You know, so all this stuff really ties in together, you know, because, you know, can the ATF do what they're actually doing? The Department of Justice have that authority. We come back from the break. We're going to talk about that more. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, we're talking about the bump stock lawsuit. We're talking about all the cases, not just the Michael Cargill case. We're talking about all the cases around the country that are going forward. I want to kind of want to give you guys an update because people are asking us, you know, what's happened with the bump stock ban? You know, what's happened to that lawsuit? But before we get to back to that, you know what? It's football season. It's the rivalry season. Man, college football, it's crazy. A lot of rivals. University of Texas lost in the last second. It was disheartening. They were just crying. But then, you know, Georgia and Auburn. Yeah, go Dogs. Boy, I tell you, my sister's all happy. But you know what? She's not the only one that was happy about Georgia. Check this out, in this neighborhood in Georgia.
We'd like to congratulate the Georgia Bulldogs on their fine SEC victory last night. And I'd particularly like to say go Dogs to my neighbors, the Faulkners. It's 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I just wanted to see if y'all could give us a shout out. Go Dogs! Huh? We'll beat the dog crap out of you, huh?
Yeah. That's right. Go Dogs. I tell you, it's nothing like waking up your neighbors at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning and congratulating them on the game. Let me tell you, that's a good neighborhood. That's a rivalry there. That's how you do it. All right, but let's get back to talking about the Second Amendment. Let's talk about defending our Constitution, all our constitutional rights, not just the Second, but all of them. With the Second, you could defend all your constitutional rights. Going back to Caleb, so you were talking about, you know, what happened at the Fifth Circuit with our case, and it was heard by a 3-judge panel. We pulled the panel that happened to be all Democrat judges. We're not sure how the ruling is going to come down, because we have to wait a little while, Caleb, right, before we find out how the judges are going to decide this case, correct?
We do. And, you know, I honestly don't know the answer. I mean, you know, we can always talk about politics and you know, we pulled some judges who on paper might not be for us, but look, I mean, this is a tough case, and it's a tough issue. And as I was just saying before the break, I mean, there are two other courts of appeals have heard these cases en banc because they're so important. And I think one way or the other, one of these cases is going to end up in the Supreme Court. And I think it's just a matter of time, whether it's our case in the Apogean case or whether it's your case. And I think the judges know that. And so, you know, they have to take their time with it. But look, I mean, the reason it's so important is when you think about what the ATF did here, you know, they took a law that Congress wrote in the 1960s that said that semi-automatic firearms are legal. They're not machine guns. And they said, you know what, we're going to change it because we don't like this particular device. We're an administrative agency. We're a prosecutorial agency. We don't like the way this is going. We're just going to change the law. Mm. And that's not the way it works. That's not the way the Constitution works. But the fallout has been everybody who bought one of these devices has been declared a felon. Mm. And anybody who made one of these devices, they were taken away from them, they were destroyed, they lost their businesses, and they also have been labeled criminals. And that's, I think the courts are finally understanding, that's not okay. These are extremely serious consequences.
Yeah, and it seems like by the questioning of this panel, the questions that they actually asked, you know, kind of makes me think that they want to say that a bump stock is a machine gun. But it seems like the law was getting in their way.
It's absolutely right. And, you know, I got a lot of questions about, well, these devices, it sure seems like a machine gun. They fire quickly, all these sorts of things. But, you know, that's not the line Congress drew. That's not what matters legally. It's not how quickly you can fire. And that's kind of where the fact that we had a trial came in. And I think it was really helpful because, you know, we had testimony at trial that a semi-automatic firearm, if you're good enough, you can actually fire more quickly than a fully automatic weapon with a semi-auto just by, you know, hitting the trigger really quickly. That's not what it's about. And, you know, a bump stock, maybe it looks like you're firing quickly, doesn't mean it's a machine gun.
Right.
And I think the judges were really sort of stumped by that. They're stuck because you know, the trigger mechanism, that's really what Congress cares about. With a bump stock, it doesn't change it. Right. You know, the trigger mechanism always works the same.
And the original reason I got a bump stock, Caleb, is because, you know, I'm a disabled veteran and I actually have a metal plate and 7 screws in my wrist. And so that's the original reason I got one, you know, so, you know, see if it can, you know, kind of help me, you know, hold it a little better and actually fire a little better in that arm.
Well, and that's one of the reasons they were developed. They're to facilitate people with limited mobility. You know, that's the purpose of them. And I think there's a lot of this sort of talk about how these are just the whole design with the bump stock is to try to make a machine gun when, you know, to get away from the law, to get around the law. And that's just not true.
And let me ask you what's happened in the 10th Circuit, because that's a different case that's going before the 10th Circuit. What's the name of that case and how is that going?
So that's the Apogean versus ATF case. That's at the Supreme Court right now, or we have asked the Supreme Court to review it. That went to the 10th Circuit en banc. The court split in half. I mean, the court agreed to hear it. All of the active judges agreed to hear it because they thought it was important. They split along party lines 6-5. And, you know, I think the Supreme Court very likely will take that case. And I think the only reason they don't take that case is because there's other cases coming and they know that.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be one of them.
So that case has been heard in a lower court, is now going to the 10th Circuit, and is now on its way to the Supreme Court because it's been heard in our book. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, and one of the things, I mean, the judges told me this week, you know, they're aware that it's pending at the Supreme Court. They know that the justices are looking at it. You know, I think everybody is sort of aware of where this is going.
Now, what about the Sixth Circuit? How is that case going? That's going.
So they have a case as well that they are hearing en banc in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And so there was originally a decision that said the rule was invalid. ATF doesn't have the power to do this. And then the entire court decided to rehear that. So we don't know if they're going to agree. We don't know if they're going to disagree. It's very up in the air. And one thing I'll just say is that, you know, there's always been the sense that, well, maybe the ATF isn't really going to prosecute people for this. Mm-hmm. We know that's not the case. The ATF has been prosecuting people. And there was actually a decision out of the Navy Marine Corps Court of Appeals a couple of weeks ago vacating a conviction because an enlisted man was sentenced to 3 years in prison for owning a bump stock. Mm. So this is an issue that if it's not decided now on these kinds of lawsuits up front, it's going to be decided when people are sent to prison. Mm. For breaking a rule that should never exist in the first place.
And we're trying to prevent that. So we're trying to go this route to keep people from, you know, from that actually having to happen.
Absolutely.
And tell us a little about NCLA. What's the organization and what does NCLA stand for?
So the New Civil Liberties Alliance is all about pushing back against administrative overreach. And I mean, this is a great example. This is an administrative agency that thinks it knows better than Congress, it thinks it knows better than the courts, and it's trying to rewrite criminal laws. Unfortunately, this is not the only context they do that. They do it in a lot of different areas. And that's what NCLA exists to fight. We sue agencies all the time when they invade constitutional rights, they punish people for doing things that are legal, that they're allowed to do. We're a nonprofit, and if you want to hear more about us, look at more of our cases, you can always visit us at nclalegal.org. And I know I saw you were playing a video in the break. You know, we have videos about some of our cases. We have a lot of information, and I just encourage you to check it out.
All right. Thank you, Caleb. And I want you to, you know, I can't have you stick around on the Skype there, but I want you to kind of listen to the show to RW Arms. I kind of want to introduce you to this guy and this company, because they also have a case because they lost, you know, $20 million, because they had destroyed those bump stocks. They're our next guest. So I want you to listen to that. When we come back from the break, we're going to have RW Arms on the show. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about the bump stock ban. We're going to bring on RW Arms, a representative from that company, Mark Maxwell, to talk to us about their lawsuit for the bump stock and how that's going. Their company, RW Arms, lost $20 million. They had to destroy all their bump stocks and everything. $20 million. We're talking about this cost the firearms industry, the bump stock ban, cost the firearm industry $100 million, people, $100 million. We have companies going out of business. RW Arms had the sole rights to distribution for bump stocks, and they lost $20 million. Let me bring into the conversation Mark Maxwell. Welcome to Come and Talking, sir.
Hey, Michael, how are you doing today?
Outstanding. Tell us your title, the title of the company and everything.
We, RW Arms, veteran-owned company, started with a great partner of mine, Michael Stewart. We have since changed that, bought him out last year. And now I am still CEO, and we are trying to grow everything from here.
Man, it's been a tough 2 years.
It's been interesting to say the least.
Yeah. So, 2019, the word comes down, bump stocks are banned, turn them in or face a felony. You guys were facing, a lot of years if you didn't turn them in. It's like, hey.
Oh, I know.
What was it like, 755,000 years in jail?
I think it was. It was ridiculous. It was if I remember correctly, it was 775,000 years in jail and an $18 billion fine.
Wow. If you didn't destroy them or turn them in.
Correct.
Yeah. And I want people to think about that. Just think about those numbers. You were talking almost 800,000 years in jail. You're talking $18.8 billion in fines. For something that was legal that the federal government said is now illegal, just they flipped a switch. Today, they're now illegal. And if you don't turn them in, you will face $18.8 billion in fines and almost 800,000 years in prison. Just think about that. All right. So, so tell us, man, what'd you guys do in 2019?
So 2019, in late March, they came and seized all of our product. That went, obviously news covered all that. All that was went pretty smoothly. We worked in conjunction with the ATF and the DOJ. And then that's where things started to get a little dicey. Obviously, we had to sue for our property that was taken. And what most people don't realize, this isn't just a Second Amendment case. It's also a Fifth Amendment takings case. And the Fifth Amendment takings case is the same as any other takings case would be. If they came and took if you owned a property on an intersection and they needed to cut off a bit for a, you know, a turn, right-hand turn lane to get cut through it, they'd have to compensate you for that. There's no difference here. So for us to have to fight now for those rights is I think it's pretty ridiculous, but we've also been delayed because of COVID. You know, they weren't seeing any non-criminal cases until then, and our case is simply a takings case.
Right. And you guys got no help. I mean, no help whatsoever. You know, this is a Fort Worth, Texas company, RW Arms. Fort Worth, Texas company, RW Arms, had to turn in their entire inventory stock of bump stocks to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms on Tuesday of March 26 in 2019. They had to transfer 73,000 bump stocks over to American Shredder in Fort Worth, Texas, so they can be shredded and, you know, recycled under the supervision of the ATF. You know, we're talking, you know, 75,500, you know, bump stocks turned in and destroyed in total. We're talking about,
Correct. You know,
almost 800,000 years they're facing in prison. We're talking about $18.8 billion in fines if they didn't turn this stuff in.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous at this point to even talk about it, except it actually happened. And when you're going through it at the time, you don't think about those large numbers. You just think about what it's going to do for our income. You know, the other people that work with the company, we went from, you know, 10 full-time employees to 3, and it's affecting all of us now. Mm.
And it hurts because, you know, now you're looking at, you know, 2020, that was 1 year. The country shut down. Everyone's buying firearms. And then you're looking at 2021, you know, it's hard to get parts and pieces and guns and just everything. And everyone's scraping and, scrounging for everything they can possibly get. It's actually pretty difficult for a lot of firearms companies. Gun ranges, I'm seeing gun ranges close down. I'm seeing gun stores close down. I'm seeing manufacturers go away.
Yeah, correct. I think one, we're about to, this is the very tip of the iceberg right here. I think we're about to see a huge change. When you're looking at all those ships that are outside the port, you're about to see a huge delay in everything from the aluminum raw materials to the springs that are coming in from overseas to the pigment in the dye for the extrusions or for the injection mold machines. We're not even seeing the tip of the iceberg with that. So we're now at a 6-month delay on some parts just for shipping.
Right. And what shocks me is in people think that just because something is made here in Texas, they think all the parts and the pieces of that item is actually made in Texas. They don't realize that a lot of the parts and pieces come from overseas or other states.
Correct. And you don't want some of those things made here. You don't want your super glues that are required in some assembly to be made here. It requires a reactor, and the outgassing of the reactor is cyanide. So you don't want your super glues to be made here. Your pigments, you don't want to be made here. It's a very dirty process. So it's a necessary evil. I understand that. But we have to order from overseas for many of the individual components, and our manufacturing partners understand that more so than we do even. And we're talking 6 months out right now for basic orders. Well, that puts us all the way through the holiday season, right? That I can't even get some parts in to include some triggers that are our best sellers into the market now.
And you're talking about just getting that stuff to a distributor, not less get, you know, even longer to get it down to an end user, to the retailer, to the customer.
It's going to trickle down. It's going to shock people when they start ordering for the Christmas holiday season. We're making jokes right now. You start ordering now. When you can find it, buy it right now if you're going to buy for the holiday season.
Yeah, because you're looking at something and you're looking at it online. You think, and it says it's in stock, you know, and if you don't get it, you wait. You go ask your wife for permission. By the time you come back, it's gone. And then you had to wait till next year.
Yeah, it'll be well into next year before this starts to regulate itself a little bit. Right. I think we're 2 years out, but you know, it's only because of the, like, we have some products that can be air shipped in safely. Mm-hmm. And right now they're saying no more air shipping. Everything has to go by ship. And that puts 3 months on arrival dates. So we have to look 6 months out for payment to them for their manufacturing and then for shipping in for simple basic parts.
Wow. All right. So, Mark, and this, by the way, we're talking with Mark Maxwell. He's the CEO of RW Arms. So, Mark, tell us, how is your case going? Where's your case at? Where does it stand right now?
So our case is going exactly as planned, with the exclusion of the delays from COVID. With that being said, the military case that was referenced earlier in the show, that was a Marine who went home on leave. He had a couple bump stocks at his house. He said he was going to turn them in. So he had them in his car. They didn't even match up with the other rifles he had in his car at the time. So his story does check out. If anyone looks into that story as a Marine, there's a little bit of shadiness with the other aspects of the story. But the bump stock specific part of that story, we will stand behind 1,000%. He should have never been prosecuted. He wasn't. In fact, that got stricken. I don't know the official word, stricken from the military courts. And he's going there. The your Fifth Circuit court ruling is fantastic. We like that it was heard. I think for them to be open-minded and reference our case and then the other cases that are going through, ours is in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeal. And it was ruled that a bump stock does not fit the definition of a machine gun. The only reason they were ever illegal is because the ATF definition of a bump stock was made to fit a machine gun under the guise of a DOJ presidential order. Now, the presidential order to the DOJ was simply to look into it. So when Trump was tweeting about the whole industry, as you referenced earlier, he was really tweeting about myself and about two other main guys who kind of ran the entire side of the industry. Manufacturing had been shut down by that point by Sidefire, by Bumpfire Systems, and by Fostech. Fostech had backed off that. So before I go any farther, Judd Foster, CEO and president of Fostech, passed away this last week. He was a great partner, and I really want to send out my condolences to him. His entire family, and Fostech is a family-run company, and all of our friends and family there. So,
oh, that's sad. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, As you know,
Fostech is very well known for their Echo 2 trigger, their Echo Sport. They do the Origin shotgun, so they have some great products there, and we've carried those products for many years. They've been a great partner with us on the bump stock side of things as well.
All right, so your case is in the Sixth Circuit, correct?
It is. Right. So our case went, when your attorney earlier said it was going to go to the Supreme Court, or you said, we've already been to the Supreme Court twice. So Justice Roberts and Justice Gorsuch have both seen our case. And they both said they want to let it run completely through the lower courts before they make a ruling at the Supreme Court level. We don't believe it'll go that high again. It's now back. It got kicked back down from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, back down into there's a circuit in D.C. that looks at these larger takings cases.
All right. When we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you about that, where it is and what's going to happen from here. And what do you expect that, to go after it goes back to the lower court? We're talking about the bump stock ban. We're talking about the bump stock case. We're talking about making it all the way to the Supreme Court. Some cases will make it. We're talking about all these cases are linked together. They got to help to get, to get these cases to the Supreme Court. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hi, this is Stephen Woolford, the Barefoot Defender. I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, we're talking about the bump stock lawsuit. We're talking about RW Arms. We're talking about all these cases. And Thomas says, you know, how will all the cases be tied together? He asked this question twice. Again, how will the Supreme Court tie all the cases? They are technically not related, but they are. Well, what happens is, you know, once you have different appellate courts have different, you know, decisions and the way they rule, different rulings, the Supreme Court's got to, you know, got to sort it all out. Okay, this appellate court, the Fifth Circuit says this, the Sixth Circuit says this, the Tenth Circuit says this, then the Supreme Court has to put it together. And say, okay, well, this is the law of the land. You know, they got to say, okay, because everyone's, you know, pulling different pieces of the same, you know, the same topic, and taking different angles of it, and the Supreme Court's got to say, okay, well, here's the law of the land. And so that's why that's, you know, basically what's most likely going to happen. And I think that's also going to help us with, you know, AR pistols, because it's all about the ATF. You know, does the ATF have this authority to do this? You know, is this something that Congress, you know, should have the power to do? So we'll see. You know, that's where we're pushing to that end. But we're talking with Mark Maxwell, and he's the CEO of RW Arms, and we're talking about their lawsuit that's in the Sixth Circuit. So, Mark, you know, so you guys, it's going up to the, you say it's going to the Sixth Circuit, and you actually had your day in court initially in the lower court, correct?
We did. There's a lower court in D.C. for these larger takings cases. It went there, went immediately to the appeals court. From there, the appeals court, the judge met with Bill Barr at the time, Attorney General William Barr, and he said, don't rule on it. It doesn't matter. They were never legal. They should have never been legal, so don't rule on it. We immediately got it kicked up to the Supreme Court. At which time, I forget which one saw it at first. It was either Justice Roberts or Justice Gorsuch. They wanted to kick back down to the appeals court, the appellate court. And then it went back up because we attempted to get a stay so all of our product didn't have to be destroyed.
Right.
Once everything was destroyed, then it went straight back down, got kicked back down by another judge.
And you're talking about the emergency things that you guys, you know, tried to do before, you know, right when the ban started.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Okay. All right. Correct. So after the ban happened, you got them all, you know, you had to destroy all of them. You lost millions of dollars, you know, worth the product there. So then what'd you guys do in 2020?
So 2020, business-wise, we were trying to bring in more products, more vendors, and we realized in the court case, that's all separate, that's a business, but on the court side of things, we got stalled out. Mm. We were supposed to be seen about March time period,
okay. And
in early March, because of COVID, they decided they weren't going to see any cases that weren't criminal. So they weren't seeing any. And now we're in a cycle of them not seeing our case. Although these other cases, whether it's a Sixth Circuit, now your Fifth Circuit, the military court that saw our case, there's actually Firearms Policy Coalition had a case, and there's one more case out there, one in D.C. and one in I want to say Michigan somewhere, but none of them are being seen right now. None of them are moving forward. And so we're trying to figure out how to settle. And once we settle, our case is very important to all the other cases because it puts a value on the product that everyone is taking for a loss. At which point, the class action that's already filed the federal court in Fort Worth, Texas, then we'll let everyone know who had one, who had to destroy them. They can join that case at that point. Your case is very important because it'll be in front of different judges and they may have a different opinion. We also have writ of habeas corpus. Once again, before I got into this, I would have never known what that is. A writ of habeas corpus is simply either a judge or attorney or someone who's an expert in the matter legally to give their legal opinion for the courts to consider. It's been a daunting task to go through all this. And if I ever have to give any advice to anyone, don't sue the government. It's not worth it. It's been tough. The road has been very tough to get to this point.
Right. Yeah, it really is. It's a lot of work. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, how much a fight this really is. And then what kind of blowback you can also get from doing something like this.
Oh, we had when we first filed, showing up at my house once a month, I had someone serving a subpoena. And after the third month of that happening, I finally went to my lawyers in our law firm. And I said, hey, what's going on here? This never happened before. And they said, oh, hold on. Let's make sure this stopped. This is part of the lawsuit that we can make sure this doesn't happen right now. So there were subpoenas for advertisements that we sent out through email that went to, say, New York for a binary trigger. And in New York, you can't own a binary trigger. You can't buy it. But someone got an email in New York, and so they sent a subpoena for us for all of our sales information, which we cannot give up, and we would never give up in a million years.
We had all kind of weird things too. You know, I had the state police sit in on, you know, like several classes, like so many classes I can't even count. You know, I don't understand why they spend those resources to sit in on my classes that are actually videotaped. You know, but they, you know, wasted their resources to sit in on the class to see if, you know, I guess I would mess up or something like that. And then we had, like, you know, things shipped to the store. Like someone shipped a machine gun to us that was not registered, wasn't in the registry, wasn't part of the NFA process. So it was an unregistered machine gun. And, you know, and I guess they wanted to figure out what we do in that process. It's like, man, it's crazy. You know, the things that, you know, they come at you, they come from the left, from the right. It's just like a nonstop thing. And then people ask me, you know, man, why do you work 7 days a week? I have to work 7 days a week because I'm the one that's responsible. You know, because if something slips through, you know, my firewall there, you know, I'm the one that's going to go to jail for it.
Right. And I think we all, you, myself, a few others, people don't understand that I'm not just fighting for my Second Amendment rights. I'm fighting for everyone's Second Amendment rights and their Fifth Amendment takings rights. This is bigger than just Second Amendment for me. And hopefully the people who have been following our case recognize that. I'm not a huge fan of doing a lot of self-promotion. I don't think that benefits anyone when we're looking at a bigger picture like this. But if someone came and took that much of your property, how would you handle it? And I ask everyone that. How would you handle it? How would I handle it for my company?
Yeah, crazy. All right. So this case now is now going to be heard. The entire case will be heard in the lower court, lower district court.
Correct.
And then it will make its way forward. So we'll see what happens with that. And what do you hope to gain from this?
So the DOJ has already reached out to our team and said they're willing to talk about a settlement of some kind. If they don't want to settle and it has to go to court, then we get full dollar amount. The DOJ sets the dollar amount of the total property taken, which they already have. They did. Their estimate was $300 per bump stock that was taken. That's their number, not ours. For average across the board, they just average everything. And then from there, it's a 9% interest since they took it compounded annually, as well as we can petition the courts for legal fees because we should have never had to fight this in court at all. What they'd much rather do is not have the court precedents settle out of court, but once we know the dollar figure, then there will be a trickle down for everyone else's. And other than the new House bill that was just presented last week by the Democrat out of Nevada, there's a new U.S. House bill that is just got submitted that will ban bump stocks nationally, because right now they are not illegal. As soon as the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals said that they do not fit the definition of a machine gun, they are completely legal, although on the ATF's own website, it still says they are illegal. So there's a lot of confusion there. I'm not sure exactly what to tell people legally. I don't have any in my possession, and I would tell anyone else, do not have any in your possession at this time.
Right. And tell us about RW Arms. What products do you guys sell now, and how can we find
them? Right now, it's simply rwarms.com. Thank you very much for asking, Michael. You know, we do a lot of trigger upgrades. We're really well known for AR-15 upgrades. We don't do anything serialized, no lowers, no complete firearms, and no suppressors, but basically everything else from there.
Okay.
And once again, once we start getting more product back in stock, then we'll be able to sell a lot more products. Products are very difficult to get when you're buying in bulk. We typically buy by the pallet or by multiple pallets, and it's difficult to get anything in beyond, you know, 100 triggers at a time or whatever. I don't know what you've seen lately, Michael, but I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Absolutely. I know some people are looking for binary triggers right now. You know, they want to know if you got any.
Well, we have a few, and we have quite a few inbound. So we're in discussions right now, and we will have them in.
All right, so definitely check out rwarms.com. Check them out and support them, because they're in this fight, you know, for the Second Amendment. They're in this fight for the bump stocks, because what starts here in Texas will change the rest of the world, will change this country. Don't forget it. rwarms.com. We come back from the break. We're going to change gears a little bit. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coley on Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about the bump stock ban. So I hope we gave you a good update on that and how that's going. So we'll see what happens. Got to see, you know, the Fifth Circuit, you know, what the 3-judge panel has to say. We hope to have that ruling in a few months. It will, you know, will come down. And then whatever is the result of that, I'm sure either side is going to request an en banc, which means they want that, you know, the case to be heard by the entire Fifth Circuit, all 17 judges. And so then we'll see how that plays out. And then, you know, hopefully make it to the Supreme Court. And so I think that will help us, you know, in what needs to happen, you know, for the Second Amendment. But I want to change gears a little bit. I want to talk about some news here. There's a news story that came out from The Trace and USA Today, some other news outlets, about black people formed one of the largest militias in the U.S. Last year, 2020, and now its leader is in prosecutors' crosshairs. So, and what we're talking about here is back in late July 2020, as Louisville, Kentucky, you know, all the brouhaha was around the Breonna Taylor's killing in a botched police raid, a militia group, you know, went to that city, went to Louisville. And so you had hundreds of black men and women all dressed in black marched through downtown. Some wore body armor. Others had gas masks. They had pistols. They had, you know, shotguns, rifles, and, you know, to march and show, I guess, to show a force of that, you know, they're there to defend, you know, black lives. Well, they had a rally, and there's a group called the Not Effing Around Coalition. They were an armed group that says is dedicated to protecting black lives from police brutality, and it got the attention of experts who track extremist movements. And it was the biggest public display by an armed militia, you know, that a lot of people have ever seen. And so, you know, no one was really expecting, you know, so many people to show up that were armed. And basically a year later, the NFAC, as the group is known, was back in Louisville. Its leader, Grandmaster Jay, which we're going to reach out to, see if we can get Grandmaster Jay on the show, because I want to talk to him. Maybe we can get him in Austin in person, or at least on Skype, and see if we can talk to him and see, what's going on, what's his organization's all about, what's their purpose, their goal. And his real name is John Fitzgerald Johnson. Retained he is a still eye confidence that has made him a messiah of tens of thousands of Black Americans. He wore his trademark body armor and sunglasses in the summer heat and spoke grandly of self-defense and Black empowerment as the creation of a Black nation. This time, there was no march before a cheering crowd. The guns were nowhere to be seen, and Grandmaster Jay's troops had shrunk to a small group of loyalists. That's from the previous year to now to the present. All right, so, hopefully, I want to get, sometime down the road here, maybe in the next month or so, get Grandmaster Jay on the show so I can, talk to him about his organization, because it seems like the organization, wants to support, Black lives, wants to support the Second Amendment. But then for some reason, a lot of, you got some attorneys, some prosecutors there, are looking at this guy and say, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? Are they looking at him to see if he's committing any crimes or anything like that? And so we'll stay tuned to, this story and what's going on as it progresses, because I'm not sure about what's happening. I don't see he's done anything wrong, but we'll see, we'll see what happens down the road. And I really don't know much about him either. You know anything about him, Zach?
Nope.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know much about him. I haven't really read a whole bunch about it. So kind of ignorant on this on this area here. So we'll see. All right. So I want to change gears again, as I do, and talk to Kevin Dixie. He's the owner of No Other Choice. No Other Choice. Kevin is a firearms instructor, firearms trainer. And I love talking to firearms trainers. I love talking to instructors. I love talking to instructors around the country. So I like for, people to be educated, about firearms laws, to be proficient in firearms. You need to know what the law is. You need to know how to respond, how to act, how to conduct yourself when stopped by law enforcement. It's important that you're educated on what the laws are in the state that you're traveling in, the state that you live in. Because I always tell people, police can lie to you, but you cannot lie to police. And that's also a Supreme Court case, Supreme Court precedence. So just keep that in mind. So an officer can pull you over and totally lie to you and tell you that something is illegal when it's actually legal to make you, think you're doing something wrong, so they can have articulable suspicion to possibly search. So it's important that you understand what your rights are, understand all of your rights, and understand the laws in the state that you're in and the state that you're traveling in. So let me bring into the conversation Kevin Dixie. Kevin, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. Greatly appreciate you.
Absolutely, sir. So tell us about, your company, No Other Choice. What do you do? How'd you get started?
It's funny, man. I got started really with firearms training kind of by accident, to be honest with you. I was and have been for a while in a very elementary level a civil rights advocate. And then I took a job when I was 21. I was in my neighborhood. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm from the worst part of St. Louis area called Walnut Park. And I wanted to better my community, right? I wanted to inspire us to do more than what we saw. This is back in the 90s. I wanted us to achieve more than even what was presented to us. And that was through various means. Long story short, I was doing that work, and I decided that at 21, I was going to take a job with the CDPD, and I worked in a division called Prisoner Processing. So Americans call it a jailer. That's what it's really known. And I realized then that I was putting bad guys away. I was dealing with bad people, rapists, murderers, domestic assaulters, all those really bad folks. And then there were good people that also got wrapped up in the kind of the carnage, right, of the legal system. So it'll be that mom or that dad or that uncle that made a rash decision because they thought self-defense was common sense. They thought the law was something that, hey, if it makes sense in a barbershop, then clearly I can do this thing. And then I realized that, the motivation, education, civil rights that I'm fighting for, the upbringing of humanity does no good if they can't defend it, right? You have to be able to defend all the things you work for. Once you see that equity in life, well, how do you defend that equity, right? That's where the Second Amendment comes in at, which is also a civil right. But then it's like, guys, if you're not really cautious with this, a gun is one of two things, either a tool of freedom or a tool of oppression, and you get to choose. So now we have to make sure that we have a proper education around the gun itself. So being at the police department, I took advantage of learning everything gun and obviously learning about the laws that are associated with it and seeing how cases go firsthand. So I decided to form No Other Choice Firearms Training to keep those moms, dads, uncles, really good people that made bad, rash decisions out of jail, out of prison. At the same time, them understanding that, yeah, if you want to talk about tyranny, that's a great discussion. But at the same time, how do you get from Walmart home? How do you defend your home without worrying about going to prison? Mm-hmm. So I formed No Other Choice. And the philosophy is be at a point of no other choice before you ever cause a negative impact to a human life, even if they deserve it. As long as you are not allowing yourself or another innocent person to get harmed, use God's grace and mercy as you would want him to use against you. But if somebody does put your back against the wall, then you will do your job with extreme prejudice and go home at the end of the night. So having that balance, bringing it to people, that's where I got started.
And I like that. No other choice, because, you know, pulling that gun out and use it, that's your, you know, your, that should be your very last option. You know, the very last, you know, last thing you do. And so I like that. No, you have no other choice but to do this, you know, to protect yourself and also protect your family.
Absolutely. Yep. You shouldn't. It's not a, you know, the tool to I wish an MF would, man. It's not that. It's really understanding the responsibility of carrying a gun and doing it in a proper manner. And we have to understand, too, that we represent multiple communities. Right. You, I, the guy next door, the girl down the street. You know, that's our work community. That could be our ethnic community. That could be our family, our friend community, our network. And you don't want to make them look like a buffoon, and you don't want to deprive them of your presence because you wanted to act irrational either.
All right. So you guys, you're dealing a lot of different issues. Like you're dealing to like mental illness. You know, what is all that about?
So that's my program, Aiming for the Truth. So kind of going back to when I was a youngin' in the neighborhood, just trying to figure out what's right. When I formed Aiming for the Truth, that's a community outreach program that is really dealing with the true issues of violence. I'm not blaming a gun. I'm not even blaming, you know, the powers to be. It is really getting down to the root issues, looking at the socioeconomic status, looking at all the different things that create the issues. So there are things that I know create problems. So when we start talking about mental health, that's important, right? And I often equate that too. America on both sides like to use the hood, if you will, as kind of this social experiment or a safari, right? It's only used when it's needed for an argument. However, we can send young boys and girls overseas to name your war zone, right? Send them over there for 4 years and they come back and they may or may not have to deal with a lifetime of PTSD because they saw something that was, you know, unnormal, right? Something that human beings really shouldn't have to delve into. But then we can have young men and women growing up in these neighborhoods for 20 years, 30 years, and we don't think that they have any problems, right? So we have to make sure that we address our mental health. There was a long time in the Black community where people would say in the 90s, oh, mental health is just a white man's problem. I'm like, nah, I'm pretty sure the human structure can be affected either way, right? So we need to be able to have that conversation, because if we have people with uncontrollable anger that don't have an outlet for that and know how to deal with it, then you get violence. It's going to lead to violence, right? And then dealing with putting fathers back into the household. So I partnered with the NFL for a little while and then kept going by myself with a program called All Pro Dad. And I just spun it into Aiming for the Truth, where we inspire fathers to get back involved in their children's lives, their lives. So we put 120 dads, give or take, back into the lives of their children to date, right? And that's snapping those generational curses. That's making sure that the fathers are involved, that child doesn't go through the trauma and the hurt and the pain of not having their parent around. Doesn't mean you're romantically back involved with mom. It just means you're back involved in the child's lifestyle. But also, how do you do that? How do you take 10 bucks, right, and make that stretch for a day? How do you really understand? So we will bring kids in the room with the parent and let that child tell you how they feel and how you disappointed them. And you want to talk about a gut check, you know, let that happen. So doing things like that, teaching people employment skills, literacy skills, you know, you need to be able to get a job. And if you have the gumption or the inspiration to get a job, well, if nobody ever taught you about tying a tie, you know, having your pants up on your waist, knowing how to present yourself, controlling the English vernacular. If you've never learned those things, then, yeah, you're going to limit yourself. You might get a job at the fast food restaurant. That's great. That's fine for a start. But you're not going to be able to see that corporate America side or even entrepreneurship. Right. That's going to be difficult because you can't go in and get contracts to run your business if you don't know how to present yourself. Right, so teaching literacy.
We're talking with Kevin Dixie. He's the owner operator of No Other Choice Firearms Training. Helping people in communities, you know, has been his passion for years. Growing up in the inner city of St. Louis and working for the St. Louis Police Department Prisoner Division for 10 years opened his eyes to, you know, how just important it was to, you know, help communities and, you know, that needed change. This is Michael Cargill, And you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, we're talking with Kevin Dixie. He's with nootherchoice.com. That's nootherchoice.com. He's a firearms trainer and firearms instructor. He used to be a law enforcement officer, police officer. Used to work for the prison division. And so we're talking about firearms training. We're talking about healing. We're talking about community. We're talking about teaching. We're talking about mental health, employment, legal issues, rebuilding the families, coaching fathers, educational opportunities. So, Kevin, tell me, you know, what's coaching the fathers all about?
It's breaking those generational curses, man. You know, life gives you an experience, and the experience I have with not having a dad, I realize, you know, the pain that causes a young man, you know, or a young girl, but definitely from a young man's perspective. And if you don't have that guidance there, it's kind of hard for somebody to, you know, hold you responsible. One thing about a dad, if you know that you're loved by your father, you might fear him, but you'll respect him. And if you know that you're loved and you're cared for, you'll live a better life, in my opinion. Boys crave discipline. And if fathers aren't there to give them discipline, you get rebellion.
That's right.
Right. And then we wonder why young men, when they grow up, they crave that discipline at, let's say, 8 to 15 years old. They didn't have it. And then when you get school principals, police officers, whoever in a position of authority now to try to give discipline to them, you wonder why they you know, kind of bulk up at it. And that's because you weren't there when they needed it. So dads are very important.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about nonviolent conflict resolution.
We have to explain to individuals, everybody across the nation, that the answer is not always violence. That's the easy thing to do, right? Somebody gets in your face, road rage or whatever, you just want to react, right? But you got to know you're willing to put everything you have on a line. So for me, what I've understood is it's really ego. If you really think about it, it's ego. Who are you to test me? For a lot of young men, it's the fact that they want respect. And since they can't get respect from their words, they don't have the education or the knowledge, however, to present themselves in a respectable manner to get respect from someone, then sometimes they'll just use violence. And I think a lot of people do because their egos get in the way and they don't know another way to communicate. So we have to teach people that, hey, you got to let your ego and pride go. And you have to understand that the end game is going to be you in prison or losing your life if you keep acting a fool.
Yeah, because I mean, we have it's a really big problem. You know, 2020, you know, the country shut down, you know, everyone's cooped up. If you didn't love the person that you were staying with, boy, I tell you, it came out in 2020. If you guys were not fit for each other. Say it again.
That is true.
So, you know, here we are in 2021. You know, the natives are restless. You know, everyone's out. You know, out. They you know, they're running away. You know, it's just getting crazy. Road rage is through the roof. You know, I'm here in Austin, you know, where we are, you know, we've had more homicides this year than we've had in any other year ever on record. You know, and we're in, you know, we're in October, but we hit that in the beginning of September. And so we got a few more months to go before the end of the year. There's no telling where we're going to end up. And it's just it's crazy this year. So yeah, you're right. People need to learn some nonviolent conflict resolution. And you're right. You know, we need, you know, those father figures, you know, need the father, you know, in the household for sure.
Yeah. You know, even whether it's road rage controlling yourself or a young man acting a fool, people need to understand the consequences. Right. And I know for me, I'm scared of consequences, right? If I decide now, you know, even though I'm a man that's married and has my family in a home, but I don't want somebody taking me away from my kids, right? So I know that no matter how tough I think I am, if I do something that I need to go to prison for, either I'm going to go to prison or I'm going to go in a box trying to fight my way out to keep from prison. So if you think that you're going to fight the system when you're wrong because you know, shot that person unnecessarily doing a road rage incident or a guy stepped on your shoe so you wanted to smash his face in with a bat, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to go to prison and you're going to go in a box in a grave, you know, trying to keep yourself from going to prison. But either way, you're going to lose everything you worked for. And for me, it's just not worth it. I'd much rather kiss my daughter than fight some fool in the street.
Ooh, yeah, you're right about that. And so, and tell us about, you know, the constitutional education. What is that all about?
People need to understand that the Constitution is not corny. You know, and a lot of times they look, Constitution. I'm like, yeah, man, but this is kind of like the foundation for your rights in this country. So doing it and bringing that education in a way that ties into what people already believe, right? I don't have to come change who you are. I just want to emphasize and give you some other strengths to who you are. So, for example, if I have somebody that says, hey, I'm fighting for equality and justice in this country. Well, great. Do you know about the original document and how you build from that? And if they say no, well, then we need to go have a conversation about the Constitution. If somebody tells me, well, I'm here to fight back against people that say that rights are being violated in this country and they're not, and I'm going to ask them, well, are you confident in what the Constitution says? If you're not, we need to go have a conversation about that so we know where to build from. So I think all the way around from elementary school, one, I think it needs to be taught there more. Whether it's you just want to teach people for education or you want to teach them to challenge it, it needs to be taught in its true form up into adults that want to have arguments and debates about their beliefs, especially when it comes to the legal system and civil and human rights in this country. Do you understand what the document says or not? If not, let's get you educated.
I know that's right. And tell us about some of the firearm trainings, you know, that you actually do.
Well, no other choice. We specialize in a couple of things. One, obviously, we're there for military law enforcement, individuals like that. But we also pride ourselves in being an organization that is available with open arms to that first time firearms operator, whether you're doing it to learn a new hobby, whether you're doing it to learn self-defense. No matter what your reason is, we want to let you know that you are welcome, right? We treat everyone the same across the board. Skill set doesn't matter to us because your life is just as valuable. So the same effort we're going to give that law enforcement officer is the same exact effort we're going to give that soccer mom. It doesn't matter. Everybody in between, we welcome you with open arms. You know, your pistol, your rifle, even now to your shotgun needs, whatever you need to know from, hey, if it's just getting home from Walmart safe, or if it's, hey, I need to, you know, operate at a higher level because of my employment. We're going to give you everything in between, and we treat every American the same, and we want you on our range.
And then talk to us a little bit about child safety, because you got to take care of the babies.
Yeah. Here's the truth, man. If you leave a gun unattended and a child gets hurt, you're an idiot. And there's no other way of saying that. Now, can you rebound from that? I don't know. If somebody got hurt, maybe it's going to be a little difficult. But you need to be willing to have a conversation with your children. The worst thing a parent can do is hide a gun from a child. I don't know if I'm the only one. I used to love it when my mama used to try to hide stuff from me, because now it's time to go find it. It's like a treasure hunt, right? So you need to have a responsible conversation with your children about firearms. But in order to do that, you yourself need to be educated. And if you're not comfortable doing that, fine, reach out to us at nothechoice.com, and we will help you with the resources to educate your children, even including coming into your home and doing it, because we have to make sure that our babies are protected. There is no point. Once again, a gun is one of two things, a tool of freedom or a tool of oppression. You allow a child to do something silly or someone to get hurt with a firearm, congratulations, you've just oppressed yourself.
Man, I tell you what, thank you, Kevin Dixie. And Kevin is the owner operator of No Other Choice Firearms Training. He helps people in different communities, with the passion of, just teaching them firearm safety and everything we just talked about. He's in St. Louis, Missouri. He used to work for the St. Louis Police Department in the prison division for 10 years. And now he, goes about the community and just, helps people to empower them to, to protect themselves and educate themselves on firearms and firearm knowledge. Man, I tell you what, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciated that. I'm glad, we reached out to you. I'm glad you responded back to us, because it was really great talking to you and listening to you today.
Oh, man, I'm appreciative of your time, and thanks for having me on your platform, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you very much. You guys check out his website, nootherchoice.com, and that's Kevin Dixie. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it, sir. All right, so I want to change gears a little bit. Man, I tell you, the Fifth Circuit. That's right. So the Michael Cargill versus the Department of Justice and the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, that case has been heard in a 3-judge panel. Now we're going to wait and see what the panel says. And we, whatever happens from that will be, requested an en banc, which means that requesting all 17 judges hear this case in hopes of making this case to the Supreme Court because of all the different cases that are going before all the different circuits. Hopefully they go forward. Because from what we heard from the Fifth Circuit, from the 3 judges that heard our case, they basically, were concluding that bump stocks were actually machine guns is what they were saying. But the only problem is the law kept getting in their way. And so the single function of a trigger issue is really tough for them. And Congress really did draw that line, and it's hard to keep around, you know, get around it pretty much and making something that like a bump stock, a machine gun. And as always, folks, as always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.